o'clock hour, Williams House. With Matt LaFleur set to speak with reporters at noon. So I'll head down there for that. We'll see what he has to say about Elton Jenkins and others. You know, Tausch, when Aaron Rodgers appears with Pat McAfee, I feel like they talk about the media a lot.
Yeah, it's probably fair.
And I think, while I don't think he actually mentioned him by name, I do think that Aaron Rodgers was pretty clear with Pat and with AJ that he's not quite sure why a radio program would book Jermichael Finley on their show. I think that was the point he was trying to make. Here's what he said to Pat McAfee about
that. In fairness, Aaron's not a program director. He's not.
It's true. And Jesse's a producer. He books guests all... Well, he booked the guest today, yesterday.
Bill Schroeder, Wisconsin automate.
Big get. He was great, by the way. I want to hear more minor league stories from him. Here's what Rodgers talked about with Pat McAfee first on Tuesday.
I think all these people who are on these shows now believe they're celebrities, and they believe that they have this platform to, you know, use it to say whatever the hell they want. And that's how they garner the attention. That's how they get promotions. That's how they get to be on multiple networks. That's how they, you know, get their name out there and get a blue check mark and get to go to the Met Ball and whatever the hell's going on. You know what I mean? It's like, that's the society we're in now. It's when I first got in the league in 2005 and you got in there in 2006, I mean, social media wasn't a thing unless you had a MySpace, and it was all about who was your top five or top 10 if they expanded it, what kind of music you had in the background. And it wasn't about, you know, your social media following, your likes, your, you know, how many views on a page. You know, I think it's different. It's all about how many impressions you can have for things that you say. So, you know, it's not going to be the, you know, the relax, we're fine, this is 1 week, it was a dud, we're going to bounce back. That doesn't do anything. That doesn't move the needle for anybody. But you start saying some outlandish things about, you know, what I did in the off season and me wanting to be on Jeopardy and not play ball and all this other, you know, ridiculousness that Tom Fanning, you know, told me was out there, which I really didn't see myself. I just think that's the state of the media that we're in.
So I'll be
Did
honest.
Say off season, off season. Y'all sitting in the off season.
Okay, I don't disagree.
He hears everything. Don't kid yourself. He's
more
not
fibbing
just it from Tom. Yeah, come on.
More fibbing. Like Matt LaFleur, and no impact on his friendship with Kyle Shanahan.
What I did in the off season.
Off.
But I don't think he's wrong, right? I think people who have outlandish opinions, and that was not the same clip that I was thinking of where he kind of took Jermichael to task without naming him. But it is. That's the, you know, that's Stephen A. Smith. There are people that really enjoy his show. It's not for me. I don't personally watch First Take. It's not my programming. But clearly, lots of people watch it. They pay Stephen A. Smith a very, very large amount of money every year because people like that stuff. I'm not among them, but he's right about that. We don't do that here. Occasionally, we get into a heated disagreement, but we don't. The strong opinions, the outlandish opinions, you don't get a ton of outlandishness from this show. I believe in the way we do our show, just like I'm sure Stephen A. believes he does. But the point that I wanted to make with Rodgers, and the thing that I wanted to ask him yesterday, was this idea that there are those that question how committed he is to this team because of the offseason. And my first attempt at trying to ask that did not go in the direction I was looking for, so I clarified it, and here is how that exchange went.
I understand. Good time for two more. I'm going to say you're at a different point now than maybe earlier in your career when you did worry about the stuff said on the outside, maybe. Is that the one thing that, I'm not supposed to swear in here, so would anger you, is when people question your investment because of the, like, that would offend me if I were in your spot because of how invested you've been throughout your career.
Look, I do want to maybe rephrase or refocus what I said. I strongly believe in everybody's ability to have an opinion, and I respect the fact that they have an opinion and should have an opinion. My issue is a platform given to individuals who only desire to say inflammatory things that are not based in fact. Right? So personally, I think I would be a little sensitive to people questioning my commitment to this team. Said it from the start, if I wasn't 100% committed to the squad and my team, then I wouldn't have come back. Now, maybe people thought that was, you know, some sort of cliche line or obligatory statement, but it was the truth. Now, whether or not you understand my attitude or, you know, my off-the-field interest in meditation or a more focused or centered lifestyle, that's fine. Not everybody's going to understand or relate to that or get that. But to use statements like that or things I did in the off-season or my own mental status that I actually explained many times in this room or in this forum as the basis for statements around me not caring or not being invested with my team is not rooted in fact. It's not correct. And I do enjoy the opportunity to correct misinformation like that.
Do you question his commitment?
No. And that was either. The, you know, I think when you look at how the whole offseason played out, and I kept coming back to, you know, why I thought he would come back. And once he came back, and I said, I think most of us that know him at all would tell you, once he made that decision, was he irritated? Did he think that San Fran was going to trade for him? Were there things that happened in the offseason? Yeah, there were. But once he came back and made that decision on that Saturday morning, for whatever reasons that he decided to do it, you knew that he's coming back. He wants to win, and he is going to do everything in his power to do that. Now, again, when you have a game like you did in Tampa or in Jacksonville, and you leave yourself open to critique because you did something different than what you've done in the past.
Agreed.
That is fair game to critique him on his performance. But to act as if he didn't care or that he didn't put his heart and soul into trying to win that game, he didn't play well. And anyone that's ever played knows you have games that you don't play well. Now, it's just shocking because he usually doesn't play that bad. So those critiques of his play, totally founded.
Agreed.
Critiquing him for being aloof, for not caring, I couldn't agree more with what Aaron had to say there. That is where you just don't know any better, and it's not – I don't know how guys can critique that part of it. Now, if a teammate in his locker room comes out and says he's not doing this, this is different, this is – that's a whole different story. That is not what you're hearing. And I think everybody, and the coaches included, would tell you he is putting everything in, and we saw a big-time performance on Monday night, and we expect to see a bunch of big-time performances the rest of the year because, as he put it, those claims are unfounded, and it's misinformation, and I agree with him on those points.
I do as well. I don't think that it is an opinion that is only held by Michael Finley.
For sure.
I think there's a lot of fans, so I've heard them question this, right? And again, they don't have any real insight into what his teammates are experiencing. That was why I asked the initial question of him, of his connectivity with his teammates, because that was where I was trying to get it. I obviously didn't succeed the first time around. But I look at him and his history and how competitive he is. I just don't see him. You can criticize everything you said. I don't see him coming in and half-heartedly playing.
No, it's just not him. That's not who he is. That's just not it. And he can be mad at Goody and irritated with the organization, but he was steadfast in his – I think anyone that plays with him knows how much he wants to win, how prepared he is –
to win and his effort to go out and win. It doesn't always work out. Everybody knows that competes. But to act as if he was going to just say, the hell with it, I don't care if this organization wins another game, I want to get through this year, he doesn't need money like that. That is just not where his headspace is at. That's not why he's doing it at this point in his career. He's doing it because he loves playing football, and he loves his teammates, and he knew there was no other option out. So once he decided to come back, it was, let's do this, and then let's reevaluate where we're at after the season. That's it.
Yep, I agree. We need to talk with our friend Brian D., who is at the Ryder Cup. He's scheduled to appear coming up next. I want to remind you, tomorrow we'll do our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week, but you should be a Steinhoffel Sleeper by getting a new mattress from Steinhoffels. There's nothing like a great night's sleep thanks to Steinhoffels. Right now you can get a queen mattress for the low price of a twin on select Serta Perfect Sleeper and Beautyrest mattresses. And when you upgrade to a Beautyrest black mattress, you'll get $200 in Steinhoffels cash. And with free delivery and Steinhoffels 120-night sleep guarantee, you cannot make a mistake. Only at Steinhoffels and Steinhoffels.com. A Ryder Cup update with our friend Brian D. from 620 WTMJ in Milwaukee is next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
I got the magic in me. Every time I touch that track, it turns into gold. Everybody knows I've got the magic in me.
Getting ready to talk with Brian Lee, get our update from the Ryder Cup.
Snapping at me.
Of course, the now everybody ESPN wants a breast of magic. The Ryder Cup is presented by Delzer.
Magic, magic, magic.
Commercial print done right, a full-service commercial print leader dedicated to providing premium experiences for brands pursuing excellence in design, print, and fulfillment. They've been in the industry for 72 years, earning themselves a reputation for flexibility, attentiveness, and high-quality results. Visit Delzer.com to learn more. That's Delzer Lithograph, commercial print done right. And joining us now, tell us all about the Ryder Cup. I'm sure there is still a buzz at Whistling Straits after the performances of Coach Mike Budenholzer, team president and CEO Mark Murphy, and the guy who captained the Badgers team, Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher. Are people still talking about that, Brian D?
Absolutely. He's been the talk of the course this morning, Jason. Thank you guys for having me, and thanks for Delzer for sponsoring our coverage from up here. Yeah, I mean, that was the marquee event of the day yesterday. We're seeing Tausch in his shorts braving the winds and the weather up here at Whistling Straits.
Yeah, Brian, it wasn't, everybody was acting like we were in the Arctic yesterday. It was not that bad. What is it? Is the wind still whipping around? Because the thought was, if it's windy, that always favors the Euros.
Yeah, it does kind of feel like Ireland here today with the wind, and the wind is whipping around. You can hear a USA chant in the background here as the practice rounds are starting to get underway on the first tee. This environment is incredible, Tausch. Were they chanting your name yesterday as this gets underway?
Yeah, I got a bunch of chants. It was, or don't kill me, with a golf ball. But they have those.
Somebody cheer Murphy, bring him back. They were trying to get you back on the Packers.
Oh, so they have this this group of fans that get to go to all the Ryder Cups. I don't know what they're called. They're dressed in blue. They have horns, and they get their own seats at the first tee. And I'm sure
horns?
If you're over the, yeah, they have horns, like they're hat horns.
Vuvuzela.
No, but they get the crowd all fired up. It is just, I don't think there's an environment, definitely not golf-wise, anything close to what the Ryder Cup has to offer.
No, this is incredible, guys. I mean, the chance, like the golfers aren't even on the tee yet, or I guess Justin Thomas did just walk up from the practice range. But, yeah, you heard it there. I'm sure you did, you know, talking to you guys over the phone here from the back of the first tee. I mean, the crowd's going nuts. It feels more like Happy Gilmore or a college football tailgate than it does a golf event.
So, Brian, tell us what's going on today besides chants of USA, USA, USA.
So the big thing going on today is some practice rounds for all the golfers. So like I just said, Justin Thomas, one of the young Americans, is about to tee off here at the first tee. All of the players are getting ready for the actual competition to start at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. And then they had some celebrity matches earlier this morning. So former Packer Aaron Rodgers' good buddy A.J. Hawk was playing alongside the comedian Rob Riggle that we see on NFL pregame coverage. Mike Garuzioni from the 1980 Olympic hockey team was here playing. So those are the two big marquee events today, Jason. It was the celebrity matches earlier this morning, and then now the players are getting out there and actually playing some practice rounds. So this should be fun, and here we go. Jimmy Furyk's out there pumping up the crowd now. Good stuff out here. This is awesome.
Talking with Brian D., who is live from the Ryder Cup. You mentioned the...
Wow.
Wow, it is crazy.
Hey! How do you... Brian, how would you assess the timing of when we decided to have you on the program?
This is a 0 out of 10 or a 10 out of 10, depending on how... let's listen into the USA chant that Jim Furyk is leading right now.
So, Brian, I see Tony Kukoc and Kelly Slater were also there for the Ryder Cup. I feel like the star power has gone up since Tausch played yesterday, just to be perfectly fair.
Hey, I would say it went down a little bit. None of those guys are former Packers except for A.J. Hawk. But, yeah, Kukoc was out here, which was bizarre. And maybe they were pandering more to the Midwest basketball crowd. And, it was cool seeing some of the European guys as well. There is a fair contingent, despite the chance you hear right now, of European fans here. So, yeah, it was cool to see the celebs. This chance is awesome. It's a crazy scene.
That would be an indicator that the cheese heads that were worn by the European team, while clever, were not enough to win over the crowd. Is that fair?
Yes, I think that's a fair assessment. Thanks, Jason.
Brian, we'll let you get into the chanting along with everyone else that's there. Thanks for the update, buddy.
Thank you for bearing with me. Go USA. Thanks, guys.
That's amazing. I mean,
it is.
And by the way, great job by Brian, because we could hear him over the chants that were going on in the background.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know if there's another sporting event. I mean, there's that is patriotic and that brings out the, I guess, sense of pride about country. Is there any that comes even close to this?
I mean, if the Olympics are held in the United States, don't you think that there's that degree of cheering for the home team? But
you hear that many USA chants there? This is almost as much USA chanting as when Rocky beat Drago in Moscow and saved the world from communism back in the 80s.
Was that's worst what this Christmas reminds me. Ever.
If yous can change, that's and we can change, then we all can change.
Something like that. Yes. Are you, I don't watch the Ryder Cup very frequently. So when it was, you said it was in France?
Vive la France, yeah.
Is it the same way in Europe?
Yes.
In favor of the
Europeans?
That's
what's cool about the whole thing. And I hope that it sticks that way. Yeah, it gets intense. And I think sometimes it's actually, I saw an article today about Sergio Garcia's wife trying to, you know, have everybody chill. This isn't going to be a spot where people are going to chill, per se.
Even if they have Coors Lights on the course.
They need to get more Coors Lights out to Whistling Straits. Yeah, that's what they need to do.
Well, that's one way to go. We appreciate Brian joining us again, our Ryder Cup coverage presented by Delzer Lithograph, commercial print done right. So there's practice rounds today.
You know something crazy? Let me tell you something that's great about out there. The food was fantastic yesterday. They have this little deal. The ice cream, and Max loaded up on this, they give you a little baby cup. And you don't, like, remember how normally you go to, like, you're filling up, you pull a handle and the ice cream, like, swirls out? Like,
oh, I was never good at that. Yeah.
No, and you know what? I think somebody figured out, A, it's just you waste a lot. Now you set the cup on the deal, you push a button, it goes up to the deal, it squishes out the ice cream in a perfect shape, and then you pull it, and then it drops out, and you just take the little canister, and you go put toppings on it as you wish.
How many did Max have, and how many did you have?
I had one. Max had three and maybe four.
Nice.
Did you consider infusing Tito's vodka into your ice cream that you got from this new contraption?
No, I went and grabbed a Bloody Mary again, as I told you, up at the bar while he's filling up on ice cream, just as the world is intended. Tito's handmade vodka, distilled from corn and certified gluten-free. Tito's has won unanimous Judges' Choice double gold medals at the World Spirits competitions. It's everywhere down at the Ryder Cup. You want to have a great time. You want to mix it with whatever. It's cold. Some people think it's cold there. I didn't, but some people did. I heard about the I didn't need a transfusion deal yesterday. I went with the Bloody Mary, but you could have went cranberry, whatever you want. Go to titosvodka.com for recipes that fit your mood, whether it's at the Ryder Cup or if you're in Chicago or for any of the sporting events this weekend.
Whoa, Nelly is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Missed any of the show? Find us on Wisconsin On Demand wherever you get your podcasts. It's free, it's everywhere, and it's for you.
Before we get to Whoa, Nelly,
I didn't mean to call you that. I can't remember what.
Tausch doesn't really know where Newburgh is.
Please tell me.
But he knows where the south side of Milwaukee is for sure. And that's where Jim on the south side resides. And Jim's got a Ryder Cup take.
Oh.
So we welcome Jim to the program. Jim, good morning. How are you today, buddy?
Good morning. Hey, thanks, Jason, and you guys. Really, I called in to play Whoa, Nelly today.
Hey, take over. Why don't you run Whoa, Nelly?
No, seriously, about the Ryder Cup. You guys were talking about how it's similar or different than the Olympics, and I think it's much more of a rivalry. It's like us playing the Bears because you're up against the same kind of team all the time. It's not like, is Mark Phelps going up against a Australian swimmer or New Zealand swimmer or, you know, from where you never know who the competition is. Here, it's like a real team against a team. It's kind of like us playing the Bears.
Hmm.
Against an entire continent, though, not just against one other country.
Well, that's true, but it's the same players all the time. You're seeing the same captains, and, you know, guys have played, become captains, and the guys we see on the tour we've played against in the Masters or whatever else. I think it's just a more of a established kind of a rivalry. So you're used to the competition, you know how tough it is every year, and I'm watching it on TV as I'm listening to you. In fact, when Furyk was trying to get the USA chant going, if you can picture YMCA, he was doing USA, trying to make an S by sticking one arm out and one leg out to make an S. So it's really great.
Jim Furyk, very bendy, from what I understand. So Jim, you are into this. You will be glued to the television. Are you going to attend any of the matches?
I feel so bad, because if it wasn't for COVID, yes, I'd have been there sometime.
Yeah. Well, enjoy every minute of it. And we appreciate the analogy. Tausch, how would you grade Jim's analogy of Packers-Bears, Europe versus U.S. in the Ryder Cup?
No, I think it's a good analogy. I mean, it's a good analogy in the fact that it is a rivalry. The Olympics, there's rivals. Obviously, you had the Soviets in the United States was a big battle as far as who'd get the most medals, and the basketball game when, you know, the USA back in 72 got jobbed. There is a component of that. My point was the patriotism of the chanting and the flag waving and all of that stuff. It just, we don't see that much anymore. You see it at the Ryder Cup, the pride that is different than a Bear Packer, or although you see Packer flags, Bear flag. I mean, the more I think about it, the analogy, it's a good analogy, but the thing that I brought up was that patriotism
for country, which we don't see, you know, in sports quite as much as we used to.
You're both right, and that's high praise coming from the master of the analogy. So Jim should consider that a feather in his cap. Let's do a little Whoa, Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, "Mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide."
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Whoa, Nelly
on Wilde and Tausch.
Aaron Rodgers was asked yesterday about some of those misses with MVS that prevented Jason from winning.
You know what's
odd? Sleeper of the week.
That's the first time we've been doing Whoa, Nelly now, what, 2.5, 3 years? First time anyone's ever called in to actually want to play Whoa, Nelly.
Clearly you weren't listening yesterday.
No, my connection got bad, so yeah.
Josh and Heartland volunteered to replace you.
Did he actually fill in?
I would say I thought he did fantastic. Jesse, I think, has a different opinion.
Yeah, I thought it was
he really came in just to stick it to Jesse for 15 minutes.
Oh, Joshy. So Aaron Rodgers was asked about all those misses with MVS on Monday night. Here's how he answered.
You're downwind in the wind. You miss a spot slightly. You get amped up because you see a release of the receiver and you know he's one-on-one and you got a chance. And sometimes maybe stare it down a little too much because you just want it so badly. But yeah, I'm disappointed because he just does so many little things well and I want to get him involved.
Mm. Rodgers praising MVS, saying that it was him missing MVS, yeah, not MVS missing the receptions, which is not how I would expect Aaron Rodgers to answer that question.
Greatest zero catch performance in NFL history.
I don't understand Wildy's dislike of MVS.
What?
Here is a guy that struggled early on, was thrown into the bust category, worked.
No one threw him into the bust category.
People did.
He caught more passes as a rookie than he caught last year.
Hey, oh boy.
Did you know that?
I didn't. You've been hard on him. I think he had big potential. Aaron Rodgers obviously respects what he's been doing because he's trying to find ways to get him the football.
Mm-hmm.
Just give an attaboy to MVS and stop bringing him down all the time. Can you do that?
First of all, I didn't bring him up at all. Second of all, there were questions about him yesterday in every press conference for a guy. It's great. He was open. Rodgers missed the throws.
Yeah.
But I've never heard someone who didn't catch a pass be talked about so much in the days after the game in which he didn't catch a pass. That's all. It's just strange.
Yeah, you just don't like him for whatever.
No, I feel like we're I don't dislike him.
No, but you don't like him.
Kind of sounds like you don't like him.
I just don't understand why we're talking about him.
Oh, greatest performance ever from zero catches.
Blah. He didn't catch a pass in the game.
We talked about Aaron Rodgers for 5 months and he wasn't doing anything.
Oh, touché. That's the off-season. That's not
touché.
The same. The off-season.
Off-season.
Whoa, Nelly!
ESPN's NFL Nation has shared the biggest surprise for all 32 teams. And the bold one, Bob Dabolski, coming to steal Jason's wife. The biggest surprise for the Green Bay Packers. If you have no idea what that's alluding to, go to Wisconsin On Demand after the show. The biggest surprise, the Packers have struggled to rush the passer. And his verdict, then he had to say if it was a real or a mirage. He says it's a mirage. Is that really a surprise that they've struggled to rush the passer? Like,
not the Tausch.
Right.
Well, I think Goody could not have accounted for his best pass rusher not being able to play. I mean, I get that you have to have contingency plans, but that was not part of the plan. You brought back Preston Smith. You're hoping that Rashawn Gary takes this step, and I think Rashawn Gary is going to, as the season unfolds, you're going to be happier and happier with his performance. But the Za'Darius Smith stuff is a big setback for this team. And I think it's, you know, the pass rush needs him. And if they don't get him, they need to go do something else. Because for as much as, you know, you can talk about these other young guys and getting opportunities and up, you got to have your dogs. And Jair Alexander said, got to have dogs. Kenny Clark, Kiki, we got to see y'all in that interior getting that push. Help the edge guys out. As a unit, it just has not been good enough 2 weeks in.
That was a new one, and I kind of like it. Are we, how sure are we of Rashawn Gary's greatness?
It's not greatness. Nobody's saying greatness.
But Mike Smith is saying greatness.
All right, yes. Mike Smith can say greatness. He is an evolving player. He's somebody that needs to continue. I think he's strong. You can see he gives tackles a lot of problems with his physicality.
Okay.
He's got to be a little slipperier, I think. But I like his trajectory because I don't think it was you, but some beat guys and other people, especially early in his career, said he was going to be a big old bust. I think you were in that group, weren't you?
No, I actually wrote a piece his rookie year for The Athletic about how...
Put cheese on everything?
Put cheese on everything. About how excited they were about his potential. And it got the most comments. I don't read the comments because it's a toxic area at the end of a story. But it got the most comments of any... Like 200 and some... Like there were people arguing with each other about him, and it just filled up the comments section. So people have strong opinions on Rashawn Gary, especially Michigan fans who felt like he was a disappointment at Michigan. So I just think that we're crowning him a little bit early.
And nobody's crowning him. He needs to because of Za'Darius Smith.
Hey, I would agree.
It's time to crank it up, old boy. We need it.
I would agree. Yeah. Whoa, Nelly.
Whoa, Nelly!
And lastly, today is National Checkers Day. Now, sometimes some people are playing chess while others are playing checkers. My question for you is, do you prefer chess or checkers? Which one would you rather be playing?
Oh, I'm going to always go chess because it's just more, you know, it reminds me a lot of euchre versus sheep's head. Euchre is checkers. It's simple. It's fun. We can throw these pieces out there, slide it around, play a couple games, and you can have a bunch of folks that don't know anything about anything play. Now, if you want to go next level and you want to have to count points and you want to have to play Trump and you want to do this and you want to get in a sophisticated game, you play sheep's head. So it's the sheep's head euchre chess checkers. From now on, I'm going to say he's playing sheep's head instead of euchre. That means you've elevated your brain power to play a little more complicated game like chess would be.
Sophisticated.
Yes.
So Matt LaFleur is playing. I want to make sure I get this right for the future. Matt LaFleur is playing euchre while Matt Nagy's playing sheep's head. That's what we would say there?
I think you meant the other way around.
Matt LaFleur is playing sheep's head while Matt Nagy's playing euchre?
So euchre is to checkers what sheep's head is to chess. So correct. The person you're praising, you want to say, is playing sheep's head.
Sheep's head is the good one. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I think.
No, you're right. Jason, for as much as wrong as you've been all day questioning me, this time you got it right.
Fair enough. Jesse, that's it for Whoa, Nelly? Or do you have
Well, you didn't answer the question. Would you like to answer the question,
what's
Jason?
New? What is new? Thank God that he didn't ask another question on top of the question.
Well, he did. He asked, are we done with Whoa, Nelly? Without answering the last question of Whoa, Nelly, when I said last one.
If I may. Did you ever actually answer the checkers versus chess? Did I miss that answer?
He did.
Or did you just go immediately into the euchre versus... Mm-hmm.
I answered both.
Tausch very clearly said I would always rather
chess
play chess.
Chess is more. I said chess.
Okay.
You have been on a run of not paying attention and listening to what I'm saying or just flat out trying to besmirch me.
No, I'm not besmirching you at all. I think I am just struggling with my short-term memory that we change subjects, and I was thinking so much about the card games that I don't remember what you said about checkers versus chess.
How have you guys enjoyed that game I recommended to you, the where you put the card down?
We have that game that you recommended.
Have you guys played it at all?
Taco, cheese, pizza, something,
yeah.
Yeah, it's still in the shrink wrap. We haven't played yet.
Fantastic.
But we have the cards. We're ready to play. We just haven't played. And again, see, I was ready to say we'll wrap things up next without answering the question because I'm in squirrel mode. Like, I hear something and then I forget what I would prefer to play checkers.
USA! 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 Yeah!
When I was a playground supervisor in college, the kids lined up to play chess against me because they would all beat me. They thought it was great to beat the supervisor.
Did you hit that thing? The coolest thing, I always wanted to go to Central Park and play chess against just like random folks, and you hammer that little button when you get you're done with your move. Like, pip, that's when you know you're a pro.
Wait, are you saying you were chess bullied?
No. I was the playground director. Like, I was in charge. And the kids were like 10, 11, 12 years old, and they took particular delight in schooling me in chess, which I may have not been trying my hardest, but most times I was trying my hardest and I was still losing.
The key to chess, it's all about the knight. You gotta play well with your knight.
What's the key to sheep's head?
Counting points, making sure if you're really good, you know what the other person's got in their hands. Cut suits. You got to have a certain amount of power with your trump.
I'm sorry I asked.
It's also good. You got to get your aces home.
Vital to get your aces home.
Jens, the Coop consultant on the talk and text line.
The sod father.
As a sixth grade chess champ, I agree. Chess is the better challenge, much in the same way that Coop is a much more strategic challenge than cornhole.
I can't argue. I don't know enough about Coob, but I'm guessing cornhole is not exactly the sheep's head of card games. You throw a bag into a hole. It's a skill. I'm not.
It's euchre. It's the euchre of yard games.
Hey there, give me the two jacks there, and I'm going to go win a chip. I mean, that's all you get, the two bowers, and you're good. There's no creativity to that.
Amen. We'll wrap things up next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
All about the bouncing master. Watch it on the news. What you gonna do? I could hit refresh and forget. Used to keep it cool. I keep it light, stay out of the fight. No one's gonna listen to me. If I write a song, preaching what is wrong, will they let me sing on TV?
Should I Matt LaFleur speaking in 5 minutes, perfect timing for me. We'll wrap the show up and I'll head downstairs. You think I should follow up on his answer about Kyle Shanahan? Really, Matt? No effect at all on the relationship, huh? None whatsoever? I don't think that's probably going to behoove me to go that direction. But, Tausch, I do wonder what his biggest concern is in this game. Also, not a question that I would necessarily ask in a press conference. But if there's no Elton Jenkins, and we'll talk about this more tomorrow as we do our sleepers, maybe Dennis Kelly will be your Steinhoffel sleeper of the week, playing great at right tackle while Billy Turner is phenomenal at left tackle. But I got to think that there's a bunch of concerns with this matchup. And adding to that, you know he really wants to beat Kyle Shanahan in this game, right?
Yeah, especially now that he doesn't like him anymore. I think it's definitely going to make it even more fun to beat Kyle Shanahan and say, take this. And then Kyle Shanahan says, oh, yeah, well, Aaron will be our quarterback next year. And then the whole feud will get going. No, I think that San Fran has built D-line. My guy Freddie Varner. Like, that defense is salty.
Yeah.
I think that's where, you know, Aaron Jones, it's going to be a fun game. I think this is going to be something that, you know, San Fran is kind of gritted through some things. But I think I'm really excited to see Sunday night, you know, how Green Bay approaches this. But, you know, looking at it, Elton Jenkins not being there will be top concern if he's unable to play.
I don't want to give too much away for what I'm going to predict tomorrow, but I don't think it's going to be a very fun game.
Wow.
I'm a little scared.
Dominant Packers victory predicted by Jesse Nelson in headlines tomorrow. You want to make sure you tune in for that. I don't know how good San Francisco is. They've beaten the Lions and the Eagles. So maybe we're putting a little too much respect on their name. We'll have to wait and see on Sunday night. We'll talk about it all tomorrow as we get ready for Sunday Night Football. Have your Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week ready. Thanks for coming along for the ride with us today. Have a great day. Tosh, your stress ball's in rough shape there. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.